Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Good morning, sunshine. 7 a.m. on Saturday. Time to talk to your favorite handyman.
I'm so happy to talk to you. You've been my go-to guy for years.
So cozy up with your coffee or get to work. But whatever you do, keep that radio on and tuned in to the Mr. Fix-It Show with Lou.
Who's better than Lou? Nobody.
On Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Good day, sunshine.
Hi, everybody. 7:11 in the morning.
Good day, sunshine.
It's hour of the Mr. Fix-It Show. Sponsored by ChevyDriveChicago.com, WetAndForget.com, and by Ace Hardware. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Good morning, Lindsay. Morning.
Oh, hi.
Good morning, Doma T.
Good morning to you.
Nice to see you this morning. And Sam brought in, I forgot about this, and he talked about this. We have all three baseball cereals, is that what we call it?
Yes.
Hold on. You know, I know we were talking about a taste test. I think they all are the same, aren't they?
No, they're all different.
They are?
They are.
Are they the different, like, Captain
have,
Crunch berries?
Oh, I see. Oh, you're right. So we have Rizzo's. It's a good source of vitamins, 12 vitamins and minerals.
Okay.
That's a great name for a cereal, by the way.
Rizzo's, right?
It just sounds good.
And then Zorilla Crunch. Oh, it is different. So, okay, so Zillow or Rizzo's look like Cheerios, right? And Zorillo Crunch kind of looks like
Lucky Charms.
Lucky Charms.
Are there marshmallows in there?
Yes.
Yeah.
How handsome is Ben Zobrist, too, on the box? Look at him.
He's dreamy.
Cartoon Ben Zobrist looks like Brad Pitt.
Can I see?
Yeah.
Flip that little box around.
Yeah, look at him.
Oh. Hello,
yeah. Zorilla. And then Rossi Crunch, Grandpa Rossi Crunch, which are like Frosted Flakes.
Ooh,
right?
I think that might be my favorite already.
I know. You know, when I was a teenager and I played basketball, I remember I'd come home from basketball practice and I would eat dinner right away when I'd get home. My mom would be like, all right, here, has your dinner, whatever, big bowl of pasta. Then I would go take a shower. Then I would come back downstairs and I would take a giant Tupperware bowl and literally put half a box of Frosted Flakes and have a bowl of cereal. I love Frosted Flakes. I haven't had Frosted Flakes in I don't know how long.
This is on the heels of a bowl of pasta.
Right. I was Italian.
You know what
That's
I
what
eat
we
now?
Did.
Cereal.
That's what you eat now.
I remember growing up, every time my parents would go out of town and leave us with like a babysitter for the weekend or week, their like makeup to us, like, sorry, we're leaving, is they would buy us sugar cereal.
Oh, really?
Yes, that's how
Bye-bye.
I yep. Here's your Lucky Charms.
Yeah, now our drawer. Well, we still have Max, who's 16. There's Lucky Charms, and there's, I think there actually is a box of Grandpa Rossi's Frosted Flakes in there. I think somebody gave it because she is, Mary Beth loves Grandpa Rossi. I think there, but there's Cheerios, Kashi. That's the big cereal at our house, Kashi, which tastes like cardboard.
No, it doesn't. I mean, it's no Frosted Flakes. Or
no. Mary Beth bought the... There's some of it that's like the blueberry or whatever that's pretty good. But then she bought the original one. It is like eating chunks of cardboard. I'll put a banana in it or some blueberries to spice it up a little bit. But it is like cardboard and milk. So hopefully our taste test. Do we have milk too, Sam?
2% milk is on ice. With plastic spoons, baby.
Lou only does skim milk. This is a big day for him.
No almond milk?
No. Oh, Domitier, are you lactose intolerant?
I am.
Really?
Yeah, I am.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You slip me a 20, I'll go buy you a gallon. Probably how much it costs, right?
Either that or I'm just a hipster.
Where's my almond milk? Can I have espresso, but I'd like almond milk, please?
It goes well with my man bun.
Exactly. Very nice. Nice. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. The Mr. Fix-It Show. We're here till 10 o'clock this morning. Lots coming up today. Are we talking about the Noodaloo 2 from Rust-Oleum?
We sure are.
This is an interesting item that Rust-Oleum came out with that will take a new item made of wood and turn it into an old item. You'll see what we mean coming up a little bit later on this morning. And no, you did not. Wait, hold it. Yep, here we go. It was underneath the cereal. There it is. And then we are got lots coming up today, but let's get to your phone calls right now. 312-981-7200. Here's Sandy in Lake Geneva. Sandy, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great. What's going on?
Well, I wanted to ask about whole house dehumidifiers. I have a basement with a furnace in it, and I've always had one of those 70 pints things down there. And it runs and runs. It runs a lot. And it seems like every year. Yeah, and I'm always buying. They're always breaking down and buying them and buying a new one. Now, I also have a crawl space with another furnace in it. And my furnace guy tells me now that I need a dehumidifier down there because he had to replace a part that had rusted. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I really don't want to have two dehumidifiers running and breaking down all the time. And
All right, couple things. Whole house dehumidifiers are awesome. They go in your existing furnace, and they will help to dehumidify your home. But that really is for the living space of where you live. And the whole idea, like in your crawl space and your basement, in order for a whole house dehumidifier to work in those areas, we would have to actually put vents in there to actually draw that air in to circulate through the system. The problem with that is now I'm introducing that damp, kind of smelly air into the rest of the house. See what I mean? So we don't want to do that.
Right.
So in your case, because is your basement, Sandy, finished, unfinished, partially finished?
Unfinished.
So the whole thing's unfinished. And is the crawl space adjacent to that basement? Does it have access to?
No.
It's completely separate.
Yes.
Okay. What I would suggest is, you got two ways to go. PermaSeal, our friends at PermaSeal, they do this thing called SaniDry, which is a larger system that gets installed by them that can manage all that moisture in that basement, and they may be able to incorporate that system to also draw air from the crawl. So that's one option, okay? The other option would be to install an exhaust fan system where you mount it in that basement area. And there's I'm actually in the process of doing this in a home that we have not too far from you, where we have a high humidity level in that basement area. And I run a dehumidifier. It's just constantly working. The other thing too, Sandy, that the dirty little secret about dehumidifiers is they suck a lot of energy.
Right.
It's like running an air conditioner, you know, in reverse, essentially. Mm-hmm. So they use a lot of energy. So what I'm in the process of doing right now, I got a hold of what's called a Brone multi-port fan. Okay. So this thing is designed for, it goes typically up in an attic, and it has four different pipes that come into it, and it vents outside with a 6-inch pipe. I'm mounting that in the basement, and I'm taking a couple of, I'm running pipes to a couple different rooms where the moisture is a problem, and I'm venting it outside, and I'm using a humidistat to monitor the moisture and letting this fan run. That fan, when it runs, draws hardly any air whatsoever or energy whatsoever.
Okay.
So that is something that you could talk to your heating and cooling guy. Say, hey, I was talking to this friend of mine, because now we're friends, right? We're friends, Sandy.
Right, yeah. Right? Good. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, one of my favorite restaurants is up in Lake Geneva. Have you ever been to Simple?
Oh, yes.
I love that place.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
a lot of places are great.
Yeah, I like that place. Anyway.
You have to wait.
Yeah. Oh, you know, all good things are worth waiting for, Sandy. Anyway, you could talk to them and putting this venting system in and just draw all that moist air and dump it outside.
Okay.
Well,
that's good. That's a thought.
Those are a couple options. But call Permaseal to get an estimate. They work up in Lake Geneva. They don't charge for the estimate about their Sanidry system as well, because I think you'll find that that's a very effective way to do it as well. Appreciate the phone call. It's 7:21 in the morning. You're listening to Lou Manfredini on the Mr. Fix-It Show on 720 WGN. Don't go away.
Yeah, sure. Hoop-dee-doo. Now back to your Saturday morning fix of the Mr. Fix-It Show with your host, Lou Manfredini, on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Welcome back. Mitch is in McHenry. Mitch, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Hey, Lou. How are you doing?
I'm good. What's going on?
Hey, I want to, I have a garage that I want to clean the surface of the garage, and I want to seal it. But I don't want to seal it with anything permanent, just to, give it a nice look that maybe lasts a season or two.
Wait. So we're talking the floor of the garage.
Yes.
I want to clean the garage. I want to seal it. I only want to last it for 2 years, because why?
Well, maybe selling the house. I don't want to spend a lot of money.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
How big of a garage are we talking about?
It's pretty big. 6-car.
Wow. Show off. I'm kidding.
Do you
want to do an epoxy coating?
No. I just want to put something in there that, just keep the little water out.
Are you getting groundwater? I guess my question, hold on. Do you want to change the color, or you just want to look at the concrete?
Yeah, concrete's fine.
Okay. But I get
a kind of a sealed look.
Oh, like a shiny look.
Maybe not. No. No, it doesn't necessarily have to be.
Okay. I mean, because I can recommend a sealer that will seal the concrete, but the concrete won't look any different than what it looks now after you clean it.
If I ever wanted to epoxy that, would I have to strip? Would that
no.
be easy to strip off?
You don't need to strip it off. So the product I'm going to recommend for a true sealer is a product called Bone Dry.
Okay.
All right. It is it's expensive. A gallon of it's $70. But in that 6-car garage, you probably need 2 gallons. You're gonna clean the garage first, okay? So you take everything out. You're gonna scrub the concrete with like a citrus-based cleaner works great, a little deck brush or a pressure washer, whatever it is. Then let it dry, but while it's still a little damp, just damp, you're gonna put this product in a pump sprayer and you're gonna spray the whole surface and you're gonna work your way out, and it is going to penetrate like up to an inch and a half of the top surface of this concrete. And it will bond that concrete completely so that no moisture can come up on top of it. The whole idea that this product was designed for was for the commercial flooring industry. And so, moisture is not a friend of commercial flooring. And so this goes over the top. Once it adheres and bonds and cures, that's it. You're done. If you want to put epoxy over it 2 years down the line, great. You can go right over the top of it because it's going to adhere even better because it's this solid material. Their website is bonedryproducts.com. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. The Mr. Fix-It Show will be right back.
Now back to Lou Manfredini and the Mr. Fix-It Show, answering your questions since 1995 on 720 WGN.
He was a famous trumpet man from all Chicago way.
You know, Domati, there used to be a guy that did the news on this show long before you came here. His name was Steve Alexander. Now, most of the time when he did the news, he was drunk. But, yeah, it was just a reason why we let him go, because he needed some help, and we needed to have him let him go. But one of the things that he used to do when he worked here is every now and then he'd send me some jokes, you know, that I could use on the air. And then when he left, I think as a joke to the whole thing, he, started sending me dirty jokes that I couldn't say on the air. And so, but he's back. Every now and then I get a little something from him to kind of remind me. So I just wanted to share this with the class. By the way, Sam, when are we going to do our... when are we going to do our cereal tasting? Do you have a time in? Anything?
I think we'll do it. We'll taste them around maybe 8:40. Is that okay? We can taste them off the air and then just do it at 9 o'clock.
Okay. Well. Okay.
It's up to you, honestly. Sure. It's your show.
Oh, all right. Well, we'll figure that out. That's
it is your show.
All right. So anyway, that guy Steve that used to do the news, he sent me this. I think you'll find this interesting. An engineer, guys that were engineer like somebody that built stuff. He died and he went to hell. And he was dissatisfied with the level of comfort, and he starts designing and building improvements. And after a while, hell has air conditioning, flush toilets, and escalators. The engineer is a pretty popular guy down there. And one day, God calls down and asks Satan, "So how's it going down there?" Satan says, "You know what?" He goes, "Things are going great. We've got air conditioning. We've got flush toilets, escalators. There's no telling what this engineer is going to come up with next." God is horrified. He says, "Wait a minute. You've got an engineer? That's a mistake. He should never have gone down there. You know that all engineers go to heaven. Send him up here." Satan says, "No way. I like having an engineer on the staff. I'm keeping him." And God says, "You send him back up here or I'll sue." Satan says, "Yeah, right." He laughs. He goes, "Where are you going to get a lawyer?"
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one. Ouch.
Yeah.
Ouch.
To all my lawyer friends, it was Steve Alexander that sent me that joke.
Oh, man.
There you go. So just a little levity for you this morning. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Here's Robert in Oak Brook. What am I doing here? Oh, he's gone. He went there. Ron is in Des Plaines.
He was a lawyer,
right. Ron's in Des Plaines. Hey, Ron, you're on WGN.
Good morning.
Morning.
You ought to add a comedian to your repertoire.
Well, I just read them. I just read them, my friend. How can I help you, sir?
I got a problem with a porto floor. Spilled a little water on it, and I've got a couple of sections, 1.5 feet long, that puckered up about a 32nd, another 9-inch puckered up about a 16th, and then a really bad one, 7.5-inch wide, that's puckered up about an 1/8 of an inch.
So it's lifting?
Yes. And the water got underneath there.
Oh,
and
okay.
A half a cup. I got on it like lightning and grabbed a towel, wiped it up immediately, but it didn't help.
How long has this floor been down?
A year and a half to 2 tops.
Okay. And the water, what happened? Was it a leak or was it a spill?
No, I've got an old-fashioned ice cube tray situation where you have to fill it and walk it over to the freezer.
Yeah.
As I was walking, it tipped a little bit and I spilled it that way. But it was only about a half a cup and I was on it like lightning. I had a towel hanging right there. I grabbed it immediately, but...
It shouldn't react. Okay, wait a minute. These areas where you see this happening, it's kind of in that path where you went for the carrying the ice cube tray?
Yeah, well, it's right by the sink.
Okay, I mean, that shouldn't be what's causing that problem. There may be a leak underneath there. Spilling water on the top of a pergo floor like you just described and wiping it up right away should not cause that floor to pucker up.
Really?
Right. There's some other water thing that's happening right in front of that sink that could be coming from you standing at the sink and doing your dishes and whatever over the last year and a half, and you're just now seeing this. But there could be some leak under that sink that's causing this.
All right, we'll have to double check it.
So two things. Take everything out of that sink base and wipe your hand on the base of the cabinet and underneath and see if... see what if you see any water or feel any water down there.
If you've got a little box fan, Ron, put it on that area and blow that fan and let it run for the next 48 hours.
Okay.
It should allow it to calm down a little bit, but I think you've got a leak underneath there.
But the puckering is I'm dead in the water with that.
Well,
right?
The fan may help calm it down a little bit, okay? As it dries, it should settle down. It won't be perfect, but it should settle down. If it doesn't, after a few days, you know, if it doesn't settle down after 3-4 days of running the fan on it, you're going to have to replace that little section of flooring. But it's not from you spilling water on top of it from ice cubes. There's something else going on. Appreciate the phone call. Steve Alexander, you know who I insulted just earlier about the joke? He said he was never drunk at the start of the show. He drank during the show. Right, that was the thing. Well, there was that. The problem is there's that bar in there, right, that Domati hasn't found yet. There's a little bar and there's a tapper. Steve liked to have the Lagunitas on tap. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Lou Manfredini here, the Mr. Fix-It Show. Here is Susan in Geneva. Hi, Susan. You're on WGN.
Hello. How are you?
Good. Are you Susan or Suzanne?
Susan.
Susan. Oh, how are you? What's going on?
We are buying a new house, and the house, we're able to go out there and check on it whenever we want to. And several times when we've gone out there, there has been standing water in the corners of the basement. A couple of the problems, we figured out what they are, but yesterday we were there after it had rained quite a bit.
Yeah.
And in two corners of the basement, it's not just damp, it's actual puddles standing in the corners.
We're buying this house, or we bought this house?
No, we're having it built.
Oh.
And I'm having second thoughts. I mean, I'm really concerned about closing on it.
What is the house? What level of construction is it? Like, how far along are we?
It'll be done in about 3 weeks.
Do you have gutters and downspouts?
Yes.
Okay. And does it have a sump pump?
It does. That was part of the problem, was the pipe and the sump pump wasn't tightened down completely, and water was spraying out of the top of it. So it was like a little fountain.
Okay.
But that has been, as far as I know, remedied. But, you know, we haven't seen the sump pump run. But that's the corner that's really wet again. But now on an opposite corner, yesterday there was an actual puddle sitting there. And they have that puffy wrap that they put around
the walls are insulated, right?
They are. So we can't see what's going on the walls. The house has a wrap on it. They don't use a spray, but they use a wrap.
Right.
And it's supposed to be an excellent product, and I really feel that the builder goes an extra mile in putting this on. But
okay, so wait. Okay, so you have a builder. You're building the house. In other words, you hired this builder.
Well, it's a community that's being built.
Oh, okay. So you're buying it from a developer.
Yes.
And what is the developer telling you?
Nothing.
Oh, Susan, it'll be great. Don't worry about it. It's fine. Right? Is that what they're saying?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay. Well, we're not going to close on the house until we know the basement's dry. And so if they have to take that insulation wrap off the walls, I mean, here's what has to be determined. Is that product, is that rain coming from a crack in the foundation wall? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
A, that's number one. Or is it groundwater and there's some problem with the piping of the sump pump around there? If that basement has perimeter drain tile already around it, that sump pump should be that sump pump should be handling all that water all day long, no problems whatsoever. The downspouts should be pulled away. They should be pushed away from the house so it's not gathering any water. The landscaping's probably not done.
No, it isn't.
Right. So
they haven't even finished the final grade yet.
Right. So is water pooling up in the corners? I mean, that all can pile up. You know, that can be a problem where during the construction process, it's not uncommon for this to happen. However, the thing is that we've got to make sure that there's no cracks in the foundation wall. And if they have to take that off to inspect it and then redo it, I would really sort of request that quite firmly. And then also have them come and inspect the drain tile system around it to make sure that it's properly working. And if they like, no, it's fine, don't worry, it's not going to be a problem, you need to get some added warranty from them on this whole basement issue. Now, I'm assuming when you move in, you're going to move into an unfinished basement?
Yes.
Okay. So, I mean, that at least is a somewhat of a benefit, but a brand new house shouldn't have water in the basement.
Well, the thing is, it's a duplex, and we have gone over to the other half of the house, and that basement is not wet. So I don't know why. I mean, there's just a common concrete wall that divides the unit.
Right.
My guess
is it's groundwater. And my guess is there's a problem with the drain tile in that corner where it's either crushed or clogged or not connected. And it wouldn't surprise me if they have to come in those corners and cut out the concrete to inspect the drain tile and see if they have to repair that and then patch that concrete.
Okay.
That's my guess.
All right. But this is like a serious problem to not just let go.
Oh no, I would not let it go. No way.
Okay.
No way. This is a brand. If you're telling me, Lou, I'm buying this great house in, where are you buying this house? What town?
Sugar Grove.
I'm buying this great house in Sugar Grove. It was built in 1896. I love the house, but the basement's like a swimming pool. Enjoy the house and enjoy the in-ground swimming pool in there. There's nothing you're going to do about it. But a brand new house does not have a leaky basement.
Okay.
That's why you buy a brand new house, so you have no problems.
Well, that was kind of the idea.
Uh-huh. So do not let up on that. Don't let anybody convince you, oh, don't worry about it, it's not a big deal. It is a big deal. I'm spending all this money on a brand new house. If I want problems, I'll buy someone else's house. That's what you do. Thanks for the call. Good luck. 7:49 in the morning. Don't go away.
Dr. Manfredini's office.
My disposal. Is there a reason that it rose?
Please hold. Dr. Manfredini's.
Got a Brazilian cherry hardwood floor that I've got three dogs and they've tried to scratch through the clear coat finish.
One moment, please. Dr. Manfredini's office.
I've got a question about my basement floor.
He'll be right with you. The doctor is in. I mean, he's kind of like a doctor for your house. You're listening to Lou Manfredini on the Mr. Fix-It Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
7:53 in the morning. Time now for our Noodaloo 2 segment sponsored by Dave Thompson's Organic Healthy Grow Fertilizer. This is a brand new product that you can use to take a new piece of wood and make it look like an old piece of wood. And Lindsay is going to tell you all about it.
This is live. So please forgive me.
Okay.
Hey, the rustic look is in. There's no doubt about it. But not everyone has the means or time to find an old barn or old wood to get that reclaimed look. This week's Noodaloo 2 will give your space a farmhouse style look in minutes. Varathane Weathered Wood Accelerator from Rust-Oleum is a water-based product that replicates the aging process that happens in nature by reacting with tannins of the wood to create a one-of-a-kind weathered look. It's so easy. Find a piece of furniture or decor made from untreated bare wood. Then, for better product adhesion, lightly sand the unfinished wood with about 120 grit sandpaper and wipe that debris away. Open the can of Varathane Wood Accelerator. Give it a stir. It's got a really low odor and it's a bit runny. A little bit goes a long way. Apply the product with a brush. Allow the accelerator to sit on the wood for about 30 minutes to an hour and just watch as the effect takes place. Just like that, you've turned a drab piece of wood into farmhouse chic. What's new is old again. I'll put a photo up of a before and after shot of the product on Lou's Facebook page as well as a link. That's this week's New to Lou 2.
It's a cool product. It is a, thank you, Lindsay.
Hey, you're welcome.
It is a way to get that distressed look to a new piece of wood. And so if you're trying to figure out a way to make something kind of personal, did we figure out the name of that show with those HGTV people? It's got them written all over it, the Joanna Gaines and Chris Gaines.
Somebody text me. Describe it.
Yeah, you know, yeah. The HGTV with the cute woman, Magnolia something.
Magnolia is there.
Magnolia Market?
Well, that's what her thing is.
Fixer Upper?
Fixer Upper, right. And they're like some cute couple, and he's kind of crazy.
Chip and Joanna Gaines.
Chip and Joanna Gaines, right. They like reinvented Waco, Texas, and like I think they own Waco, Texas now. But this has got them written all over it, where actually it's funny because I think they have their own paint line now. And I think Rust-Oleum is the company that makes it.
Oh.
So maybe I'm figuring all this out and everybody already knew it. But this is that whole kind of, if you want to make something personal and really have fun with it, it used to take artisans forever to do this kind of stuff, right? They'd beat the crap out of it and stain it and use all these chemicals. This kind of goes in and pulls the oils out of the wood and really makes that distressed look.
In like an hour.
Yeah.
And it costs $10.
Right. Right. So you can go buy anything and say, ooh, I want to make this
and
look.
We were talking earlier, it'd be really great. Like Michaels and Joann's sell all those bare, untreated wood, like planter boxes or, I don't know, little footstools or whatever it is. So,
well, and this is the kind of stuff that if you wanted to do, if you wanted to create, you know, one of the things that I like in a home, your house, Lindsay, kind of has this where, you know, you've got some nice landscaping out front in the way your house is situated. And I know people don't know your home, but as you walk up to your sidewalk, you've got your sidewalk comes up to your front door and then it goes to the left and you've got a little corner right there.
Right.
You could do a whole little planting thing where you did like a big planter and filled it with flowers and then do other smaller planters where you could do this distressed look and have like a little, almost like a little focal point in your landscaping and you could take different things and make it super unique.
So my question, if I used this accelerator.
Right. The thing you put over the top of your kitchen sink. Wood. What is that? That you've got like that distressed shelf.
Reclaimed,
right? Yes. You could create that. Lindsay has
Okay, but I paid a lot of money for that. I'm not going to paint it.
No, but my point is you paid a lot of money for that, and you could have created it.
I know, that's...
Right, so the point is that, you know, Lindsay and David remodeled their kitchen from Builder Supply Outlet, and it's beautiful, and now you got a nice backsplash, and you put this reclaimed wood over the window like a shelf.
Oh, you're so right, I could have just done this.
Which you paid a ton of money for.
I mean, not a ton, but like, of course, I went to like West Elm.
Was it $10?
No.
Okay,
you
so
know,
that's
I don't
my...
like to pay anything over that.
Right, so... This is the kind of stuff that what I like about this is it's very difficult to make a mistake.
Right.
Because I'm going to go to Michael's, I'm going to buy this planter box, and that's $10. And then I've got this quarter thing that I could probably do 10 different items with it, you know what I mean? Because it goes a long way, because as you mentioned, it's a little runny. And so you can do a lot of different things and have a lot of fun.
My quick question though, if I want to put something outside, do you think I have to put something over that to protect it?
Well, like, no, because the whole distress, it's only going to get.
So it's not actually like a paint, right? It's just like, well, no, it's not. I know because it's the runny like liquid. It's almost like clear.
Correct.
So it's not actually going to chip off or anything.
No.
Interesting.
And the whole idea is that distress look that it's accelerating. You're only going to get more distressed by leaving it outside. Capiche?
So excited.
Right. So it's like, to your point, and when you read it, nobody's going to go to a barn and buy a barn wood thing. Or, you know, you don't have time to go do all that and get all that reclaimed wood. So this is a way to do that. So it'll be up on our Facebook page, a link to that, as well as WGNradio.com.
You know, Lou, you've done this for a long time. I think it's time to drop Lou. I think you should be like Madonna. You should just go with Manfredini. And now it's Manfredini. He puts the man in Manfredini.
Now back to your Manfredini Lou on the Mr. Fix-It Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
That's me. Sour, the Mr. Fix-It Show at 8:11 in the morning is sponsored by Fox Home Center and by PermaSeal Basement Systems. Don't worry, folks. Teddy Roosevelt is coming back for two shows at 10 a.m. and 1 p.m., sponsored by American Sale, with John Williams on Saturday, August 12th at the MAC on the College of DuPage. TR made famous the African proverb, speak softly and carry a big stick. So this is our big shtick. It's the 26th president of the United States in an unrehearsed conversation live on stage. And TR will answer questions from the audience as well. They'll talk about Roosevelt's life, adventures, and feather-ruffling past, plus his views on our current feather-ruffling days. Tickets to the big shtick, Teddy Roosevelt with John Williams, sponsored by American Sale, are on sale now. You can buy tickets online or by phone for the 10 a.m. and 1 p.m. shows. Buy online at WGNradio.com/events or call the Mac box office at 630-942-4000, Tuesdays through Saturdays, noon to 6 p.m. Wow, that's complicated. Call the Mac box office at 630-9. Just go to WGNradio.com/events. You can do that 24/7. These shows sell out, so don't wait to get your tickets. Get all the details at WGNradio.com/events. Our big shtick is sponsored by American Sale for all your patio, pool, spa needs, and more. Visit one of their 9 Chicagoland locations or AmericanSale.com. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Back to the phone lines right now, and let's talk to Peter in Chicago. Peter, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning, Lou. I have a problem here, which yes, you might help me with.
All right.
All right. We have a large plant on the cement floor in our basement, about 10 inches in diameter. We are putting out on the patio for the summer, but we notice a big white stain where that pot was. Apparently the water leaked or whatever, but it's a white stain on the cement. And I'm wondering, what can we do to remove that stain?
More than likely, the moisture kind of helped to pull up some of the salts in the concrete itself. Okay.
No.
So if you got a quarter, a gallon of CLR laying around?
No, but I know where to go to get it.
Where could you go for something like that?
Probably an Ace Hardware, right there.
Attaboy. You can be taught. I like that, Peter. Go there, get a quart or a gallon of that stuff. I want you to mix it 50-50 with some hot water, then take a scrub brush and dip it in there and start working that stain with a little froth. It'll froth up a little bit. Let it sit there for, I don't know, 5 minutes, and then wipe it away with a wet rag, damp rag, and the stain should be gone. You may have a little ring of moisture, but once it dries, it should go away.
Okay. And one other little question, Lou. On the siding on the outside or in the yard, our siding, you know, down low where the ground meets the dirt, mm-hmm. there's a little bit of green forming on that the aluminum siding.
Yep.
What do we use there?
When you go to that Ace Hardware that's just down the street, you're going to also buy a bottle of Wet and Forget. Okay.
That's what I was thinking, but and, Lou, we're on the same track, man.
Attaboy, and you're going to put that in a pump sprayer. Actually, if you want, Peter, they do also now make, if it's just a small area.
Very small area.
They make a pre-mixed version now that has a sprayer built in. So you don't have to worry, and it's probably, it might be a half gallon pre-mixed. Just take that, spray it on there. And within probably 2 weeks, you're going to start to see it just disappear. And that is something that you want to retreat probably, I'd do it, what are we, in June?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe hit it again in September, get you through and do it twice a year. And that's it. And it will take care of it.
Lou, you are the man.
No, you are, Peter. Thank you so much for calling. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Let's talk to Ellen, who's in Palos Heights. Ellen?
Hi, Lou. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, just fine. Well, I'll start from the beginning. My mother put an addition on the house, and my stepfather's friends came with this big beam, metal beam, and they put it in between the house and the addition when it was, you know, when they were building it.
Okay.
So about 5 years ago, my mother noticed that there was a crack where the beam was in the ceiling in the living room on the first floor. So she thought that was the beam coming down. So I had a friend come and put some of that glue stuff on top of it so it'll make it stronger. It was like a rubber cement. So no problems now. I'm just nervous now because I need a new roof on my house. It's been over about 20 years since I had a roof. And I'm afraid that if they make pounding up there on the roof, that beam's going to loosen up. I'm thinking maybe it's not even the beam. Maybe it's the house settling. So what do you suggest?
Well, I mean, I don't necessarily know that you have. I mean, if you're worried about structural issues in this home, then what I would do is call PermaSeal. They offer a free evaluation. They can come out and take a look at it and see if there's anything going on structurally that needs to be attended to. This crack in the beam or something like that, they've got, you know, trained, certified consultants that know this business. You don't have to, you know, spend a lot of money on getting some kind of estimate there. They can at least give you an idea and say to you, you know what, maybe we got to replace this, or you know what, I think you'll be fine. I ultimately think that on the roof side, I don't think you really have to worry about the beam. The pounding is not, you know, it's not like they're coming in there with a semi and they're going to land it on the top of your house. But
right, okay.
So that's, I wouldn't worry about that. But, you know, the thing is, I can give you all this reassurance and you're still going to, when we hang up, you're still going to be nervous. So if you're nervous, have them come out, take a look at it, and kind of assess the situation for you so that you can at least know how to proceed. I mean, I don't want to, structural issues in a home are something you don't want to just say, well, it's going to be fine. That crack's been there forever. But that kind of stuff continues to move. And when we get all this kind of rain and then it dries out and everything moves, houses are constantly moving. And you just want to make sure that it's all in good shape. So the easiest thing to do, call them, free estimate. They'll check it all out for you. And then you'll have some peace of mind. Ellen, thanks so much for the phone call. 8:18 in the morning. You're listening to Lou Manfredini on the Mr. Fix-It Show. We'll be right back.
Now back to your host, your go-to handyman, Lou Manfredini, on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
So, you know, it's been raining so much. And we have these two dogs. And Flo, the dog Flo, can't stand when it rains. She's out of her mind, like crazy out of her mind, shaking and doesn't know what to do. And it rains. She goes outside to look at the storm and then comes in. It's just the craziest thing. So at night when we're trying to sleep and it's raining overnight, it's like this huge deal. She's clawing to get up on the bed and da-da-da-da-da-da. And so yesterday morning I get up to go do WGN TV and it's 5 in the morning. And she's on the floor, nervous wreck, and my wife says, bring her into the bathroom so she can, you know, calm down in the shower, you know, with the noise or whatever. And so I'm in the, and we have a, you know, nice shower with a glass door that you can open and close. And I go in the shower, and she's out there, you know, looking at me, taking a shower, which is kind of strange. And then as I'm rinsing my hair, all of a sudden I feel something. She came into the shower and is, like, between my legs under the shower. So at 5:15 in the morning, I'm there washing the dog. giving her a bath. She smelled really good. Nervous wreck. Oh, my gosh. Driving me crazy. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Let's go up to the Twin Cities where John is. Hey, John, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Hey, how are you?
Good.
Bought a townhouse a year and a half ago, and for some reason are now just discovering sloping floors.
Hmm.
And about an inch and a half drop from going on the sliding glass door out to the deck into the kitchen area. Very noticeable. You put a marble there, it rolls really fast. I'm just wondering, is there a kind of a standard, I mean, if there's joist or truss issues that tend to settle, do they stop at some point, or is this potentially a ongoing problem?
How new is this building?
Around 1990.
And what unit do you have?
An interior unit.
So are you the second floor, third floor?
Oh, it's all one level.
No. But in other words, do you have a unit above you?
No.
It's a townhome.
It is, correct.
Okay, I'm sorry. I was thinking it was a condo. I'm sorry. All right, so it's a townhome, and this is your first floor where the kitchen is.
Yes.
And what's below it?
Finished basement.
All right. And where this finished basement is, so the thing is that you probably need to have someone come out and take a look at this thing and see if they can right the ship, whether it's jacking the thing up and, you know, if there's a beam that has to be put in there to put it up. To your point of, does it ever stop settling? That kind of settlement is due to some sort of load-bearing issue that has settled a lot. That's not just expansion and contraction of trusses and whatnot. How long have you lived there, John?
About a year and a half. Okay. And we started down the path of having a structural engineer come out, and we're waiting for the report. But they were talking in general terms of what you just said, possibly jacking it up,
mm-hmm.
either tearing out the ceiling below or, excuse me, taking out the floor above and going down that way. They also mentioned a possibility, excuse me, if they determined that the settling has stopped, of tearing out the floor and using a leveling compound. What do you think about that?
Well, but the thing is, there's no way to know if it's stopped. In other words, that kind of, that to me, when you have that kind of settlement, okay, and you're coming from the, did the engineer determine from the sliding glass door towards the kitchen area, is that the direction of the floor trusses or the floor joists, or do they go the other way?
I believe it's that direction, yes.
So it's from the door coming in. And so,
yes.
To me, there's some sort of failure, whether it's in a design failure in the basement. Like, was there a load-bearing wall down there that got taken out? I'm just asking the question.
That's a good question.
You know,
I don't know. We went next door to the neighbors who has an unfinished basement so they could look up underneath there. And I don't remember if they had posts there or not.
Right. So do you know that neighbor?
Oh, sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
So ask that neighbor if you can go take a look again and really here's our sliding glass door and here's theirs. And then, hey, we don't have this wall here, or, you know, this wall's not here. These posts aren't here. And you want, if it's, is it trusses? Do you know?
I think that's what they said. Yes.
Open web trusses.
I think so. Yeah. Yes.
I'm gonna bet you when you get your structural engineer thing is that whoever lived in that house took out a load bearing wall or moved it, and that's where that sag's coming from. And that's my guess. And
sure.
And that is something that you have to put back in. And on the plus side, the house hasn't fallen down yet, and they can come back on and probably jack it all back up for you. And right that ship with minimal damage upstairs and get rid of that sag. But you have to get this addressed. Do not wait on this. John, I appreciate the phone call. It's 8:28 in the morning. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Lou on the Mr. Fix-It Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
I tell her, baby, 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 I'm a fireball.
Here's maybe something you don't know about me. Welcome back to Mr. Fix-It Show on 720 WGN. I love cereal. And, when I was growing up, I was a big cereal eater. And I need a little more milk than that, please. Sam is here pouring. Very nice. Sam, this is very nice. Domati, I'm sorry, Domati, that we don't have any almond milk for you, my friend.
I know I'll have to do the skim.
You can do the skim?
I can do the skim milk.
Oh, all right. Well, we have skim.
Yeah,
that
doesn't bother me,
Sam,
too much.
It's expired, but it's fine.
Ah.
Yeah, no, it's not expired. Sam brought in the... So when did this whole... let's see here. I got to put a microphone on. Sam, when did this whole cereal phenomenon, as far as you know, come about?
It's all been within the last year. Now, they've been released at different times, and we've got the three boxes here. The Zorilla Crunch, the Rizzo's, and the Grandpa Rossi Crunch.
Right.
This is the 2016 championship edition.
Of course it is.
Of the Captain Rossi.
I think you buy them all at Jewel, right?
Yes,
is it
all
a Jewel thing?
You can only get them at Jewel.
Right. So do we know who makes the cereal? This looks a lot like Captain Crunch. So who's the cap? This is the Rizzo? No.
That is the Grandpa Rossi Crunch.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Crunchy.
What are you having? Grandpa Rossi?
The Grandpa Rossi Crunch.
That's good. And what's this one that looks like Lucky Charms?
That is Zorilla Crunch with Brad Pitt on the cover,
mm-hmm.
doubling as Ben Zobrist.
Okay, let me tell you about the Zorilla Crunch. They don't skimp out on the marshmallows.
No.
That is like 50-50.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. It's good. It's a little too sweet for me.
Mm-hmm. How's the milk to cereal ratio? Better?
Very good.
Okay.
Very good. Thank you. And this?
Those are Rizzo's.
Rizzo's look like Cheerios. You love Rizzo's. Right?
A little birdie told me these taste like cardboard.
Ooh, let me try the Rizzo's.
They're not bad.
Not bad?
No, I mean, it's like Cheerios. It's a little sweeter than Cheerios.
They need a little honey. They're like plain Cheerios.
No, there's no.
Really?
Hold on.
I have a little banana in here. Do you want some on it?
I do like a little banana material. It's good.
So I don't think
Is there any kind of philanthropy thing with these things?
So on the back, all proceeds for the Rizzo cereal goes to the Anthony Rizzo Family Foundation.
This is awesome.
Ben Zobrist, the back of his box, has a maze where you have to find home plate.
Oh, all right.
So I don't think that goes anywhere in particular. And on the back of the Grandpa Rossi Crunch box
is
an ad for his book. So if you're talking
about the box, I think there must be some philanthropy on something, right? Is there something?
I don't know. Hey, right. Buy my book. After
buy
you
my
buy
book.
Cereal.
2016 Championship Edition Frosted Corn Flakes. That's what they call it. They've got he's got his stats on the side with his Facebook page. No, yeah, right. It's just
it promotes David Ross.
It promotes David Ross and his books. This product is sold by weight, not volume. It says BHT is added to packaging to help preserve freshness.
Okay.
But it's got 25% of your daily allowance of vitamin D. That's good, right? We all need vitamin D. And it's 160 calories, the Grandpa Rossi. It's a good source of vitamin D and vitamin A.
And then here's the back of the Rizzo box.
Oh, I like the shirt.
The Rizzo Foundation.
That's cool. I like the Rizzo. You can order the T-shirt from him as well.
Okay, so we need the order. And we'll do this off the air. We'll all rate them. I would just say best, middle, and then the one you didn't like.
Okay, fine. That's what we'll do.
Okay.
Lindsay, you know which one? Did you try all three? But you're right. They did not skimp out on the... You got to bring Doma tea, the skim milk.
I will.
Marshmallows.
It's not expired. I did check, though.
No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
Just in case.
The Lucky Charms, I'm not a huge marshmallow fan, but it doesn't bother me.
I kind of like the Lucky Charms. If I'm going bad, I'm going real bad.
Right. Well.
So I haven't tried yet. Doma tea hasn't either. We'll give the full report at 9 o'clock.
At 9 o'clock. Okay. Sounds good. Thank you for bringing that in, Sam. 8:44 in the morning. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Millie, you don't mind if I keep eating while you ask your question, do you?
Hello there. Hi.
Hi. You don't mind if I keep eating while you ask the question, do you?
No, no. Go ahead. Go ahead.
All right. You go ahead.
Please. Okay. Is it okay to apply roof sealer with over 50% humidity or the next day after it rains?
What do you mean a roof sealer?
Well, the roof sealers that
do you have a flat? Do you have a flat roof?
Right. Flat. Right. Right. Flat cement roof. Two flat.
You have a two flat with a rubber roof on the top. It's a modified roof on it.
Well, look to me like cement. Okay, they apply that rubber stuff on it, right?
Right, and so you want to roll this on over the top?
Right.
Well, I mean, the fact that we've had all this rain, I'd like it to dry. The amount of humidity in the air doesn't bother me, but it's got to be dry. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you know, I would give it a couple days where we have some dry weather so there's no puddling, because sometimes there can be puddling up there. Sweep it all off. Are we coating the entire roof?
Like 2,000 square feet.
Oh, okay, yeah. So let's get it dry. Let's sweep it off. The level, like I said, the level of humidity in the air doesn't bother me. And then you can apply it, okay? Are you going to do some sort of reflective color, or are you just going to do white or silver? What are you going to do?
The white.
Yeah, it looks really nice, and for the smaller little gaps and leaks, it can be very effective. But if you have a major leak, like, oh, I got this area where it's really leaking, those areas probably have to be cut out and repaired with a more permanent fix.
Right.
All right. Mm-hmm. Who's going to do this work? Are you doing it, or are you going to have someone?
Me.
All right, good. Well, be careful up there on top of that ladder, and make sure that you're doing it safely. And when you coat it all, in a perfect world, which is kind of crazy in a two flat, try and avoid doing it like at high noon where the sun is really beating down on it, because the slower you allow this to cure and get into the nooks and crannies, the better seal you're going to get. So it's a good thing to probably do early in the morning. There may be some dew up there, but if you can do it, you know, between, say, you know, 8 and 11, or in the afternoon, say, you know, 3 to 5 or something like that, where the sun's going down, it's not direct beating down on there, I think you'll get better results. Thanks so much for the phone calls. 8:47 in the morning. We'll be right back.
You're listening to
Lou Manfredini.
I'm Lou.
Don't we like to sing that song?
I think you're okay.
Lou Manfredini. Okay. And the Mr. Fix-It Show.
This is a little brass stripping brush.
Okay. Yeah.
If you need a little bit more aggressive.
I like the copper choir boy.
Chore boy.
So, whatever. Here he is now on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Well, no one told me about her, the way she lied.
8:51 in the morning.
Well, no one told me about how many people cried, but it's too late.
312-981-7200 is our phone number. Let's go back to the phone lines here. Here's John and Aurora. Hey, John, you're on WGN.
Hey, good morning, Lou.
Morning, sir.
My problem is where my concrete driveway comes up and meets the garage floor.
Yes, sir.
I have about an inch and a half gap between the two slabs. The driveway was repoured that section about 8 years ago, and the guy did a marginal job putting that black board in between the two.
The expansion?
Yeah. And consequently, in the winter time, when it rains, water goes in there, it freezes, that drive section heaves up, maybe close to an inch.
Wow.
And
then it goes back down?
Yes, it goes back down, you know, in the spring. Now, last fall, I bought some crack sealer. And I realized, you know, an inch and a half, crack sealer is not going to do it. So I read some instructions, and I bought, along with it, a foam rope that I pushed down in that crack.
And a backer rod, yep.
Yeah, and I poured several bottles of crack sealer in there. And it set up and firm, but didn't last.
Right. Okay. It's a big gap, inch and a half.
Yeah, I'm just wondering if I can pour cement in there.
Well, you could, but it's going to crack again. So did you take the expansion out?
No.
All right.
I probably could because he didn't put one piece all the way across. You can see where
They come in, you know, typically like 30-inch pieces or 48-inch pieces. It depends on what they use. But what I would do at this point is I'd pull it out. I'd try and get it all out, which would be, you know, now that you put all that backer rod and all the sealer, you're going to have to cut all that out, which what might make quick work of this is, are you familiar with what a multi-tool is? A multi-tool is a vibrating...
You can cut drywall with it.
Yeah, it's got a duck bill blade on it, and you can get different blades that you can put on the end of this thing, and it might allow you with the right kind of blade to be able to plunge in that inch and a half if you got like an inch and a quarter blade and take it off in sections. So you're going to cut down in there and then pull out section at a time to get it all out. And what I want you to do then is... you know, kind of take it all out, and you're probably going to get down when you take that expansion out. You'll go down about 4 inches or so.
Oh, okay? I'm sure.
Right?
Yeah.
Then what I would do is get some pea gravel, and this is what I would do. I would take not a 2x4, but something a little bit thinner, maybe like a 1x4. Now you've got it all cleared out, and I want you to use it like a tamper to tamp the soil or the dirt or the rock that's underneath there and try and get that as firm as possible. Right.
Right.
Then you're going to add a little bit more pea gravel, and you want to get that pea gravel so that you're down about an inch and a half from the top of the concrete. And you're going to use that same piece of wood to tamp it down. Now we need to fill that gap somehow, because what we're trying to do is allow that expansion and contraction, which you're going to get between the garage and the driveway, but you also want to be able to keep the water and the ice from getting inside there.
Right.
So they make some, and you're going to have to go to, this is a commercial rubber product that you literally can pour into that gap. And it's not anything you're going to find at the hardware store, but you, if you go to, there's a company called McCann Construction Specialties.
Okay.
And and you go there and tell them what you're trying to do. It's something they do in highway construction.
Okay.
And it'll come in a gray, and you'll pour. And what I would do on the concrete driveway portion, John, I'd put some masking tape down as well as on the garage side, because when you pour it, you're going to spill. And just so you don't make a mess. And then you're going to fill it. You're going to take a putty knife to kind of make it nice and smooth. And it's going to give you this rubber joint that'll look nice, and it'll keep the water out. You still might get some heaving because it could be coming from the sides, too. You know, I mean, that crack's not helping you, but there could be moisture. But I bet it will improve it dramatically.
Well, one end of it ends up in a corner where the house comes out the other as at the end of the garage. So I'm sure I can do it all the way across. And it's probably about 24 feet.
Yeah, it comes in a, these things come in like a gallon jug. So if you bought a gallon of it, it's a pourable rubber, I don't want to call it caulking, sealer. That's what it is. And you want that inch and a half deep, inch and a half wide. Tape it all off, finish it all off, and it should work out just fine for you. Thanks so much for the phone call. 8:57 in the morning. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Brandy from Kenosha, Wisconsin. I may be across the border, but I listen to Lou Manfredini and the Mr. Fix-It Show every Saturday morning on Chicago's very own 720 WVN.
When she was an American. 9:10 in the morning. This is the this is Tom Petty. By the way, this hour of the Mr. Fix-It Show, sponsored by Ace Hardware and by Rogers Roofing. This is the beginning of Lindsay's wild weekend of
Lindsay Gone Wild.
Lindsay Gone Wild next weekend, Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Woo!
Three concerts in a row.
I don't know if I've ever done that in my life.
Right. So she will not be with us next Saturday. Someone else will be producing.
We'll probably not be with it next Saturday.
So anyway, have fun. Sounds like a lot of fun.
We'll call you bright and early.
Yeah.
Please do.
Well, she wanted it. She and her husband are going to be downtown. She's like, I'll just come into work. I'm like, why would you do that? You're going to be at a concert. Go and have some fun and then sleep late.
Sleep in. But I can tell you I'm going to be up anyway.
Oh, God.
Well,
don't call. Don't text me.
I told David, because we're going to stay downtown, or we were going to stay down here on Friday night.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, where do you want to stay? I'm like, honestly, I don't want to stay down like on Michigan. I want to go somewhere else because I feel like if I'm down here and I'm up that early, I'm going to be mad I'm not at work.
Where else would you go?
Well, there's a cute hotel in Wicker Park that we're thinking. I mean, we're going to be down here, but like, I don't want to be like next to you.
Got it. Story of my life. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Let's see here. We got Fred in Indiana. Hey, Fred, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Lou. I just had seven large old oak trees taken down this week, and I've got a lot of sawdust, and the internet tells me it's probably not going to do my lawn much good if I keep the sawdust on there. So I know I can vacuum it up or try raking it up.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm wondering if there might be some environmentally safe chemical to spray on it to help it break down fast.
No. I mean, not anything. No. So what did they do? They cut the trees down, and have they already ground out the stumps?
No, the stumps are still there, too. That'll be another project, but I'm just worried that the lawn is going to be a big pile of dirt if I don't get the sawdust off.
Yeah, I mean, I think what I would do is you could rake it all up. You don't happen to have a fire pit, do you?
No.
All right, I've
got a compost bin.
Okay, well, I mean, you could start a little fire and burn it all, you know what I mean, to get rid of it, or you can rake it all up and dispose of it, you know, properly. But
there's no chemical you're going to spray. And the thing is, what I don't want you to worry about, Fred, it's not like, oh my gosh, I got to get this up today. If you want to do a little bit now, put it in the garbage can or whatever it is, and then it gets picked up, and then a week later you do a little bit more, it's going to be fine. You know, it's wood. You don't want it to choke the lawn, but there's actually a little bit of nutrients in that that'll help the soil as well. So
okay.
Don't worry about, like, I got to get this up before Sunday. Just do a little bit of a time. If you get it all up in the next, you know, 2 weeks, you're fine.
Okay.
All right, so don't worry about that. You can get that solved, no problem. Appreciate the phone call. This is Gary in Caledonia. Hey, Gary, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Hey, Lou, I just heard about your dog this morning. That's what woke me up.
Uh-oh.
Your dog gets a little excited during storms.
She gets excited would be one word to say use, yeah. And then she comes,
well,
in the she comes in the shower with me.
Little, yeah, that's a good soothing thing for them. There's something out there, and it's called a thunder shirt.
Yep.
And you get it kind of puts compression on their body and makes them feel a little calmer. If you might want to try that.
We do have that, and we have tried it.
Oh, you
and,
do? Okay.
And I would say that for her, I know for some dogs it does a really nice job. For her, it has a little bit of a, you know, it does calm her a little bit, but it's just funny how these dogs are. And then my other dog, he could care less. But then
yeah,
again, if somebody,
dog,
if,
some, the basement, so.
If somebody let off a fireworks, you know, like they're popping firecrackers and stuff, the big dog goes
yeah,
crazy.
Exactly.
The little dog could care less. It's the strangest thing.
Yep.
You know what I think? Gary, I think we should just get rid of them both. What do you think?
No.
Come
no,
on. Don't you need a couple dogs?
No, well, I live out in Caledonia. I probably would. I have space for it. But.
Oh, perfect! It could be like that. The dogs went out to the farm. What happened to the dogs? Oh, they're out on the farm. They're so happy at the farm with Gary. Thanks for the call, Gary. Here's Mike in Plainfield. Mike, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Hey, Mr. Zandini. I got a question. Is there something I could put on my siding? I notice on the north side of the home, there's algae or something growing, and as I walk my dog through the neighborhood, I noticed a lot of other houses have the same problem.
That's right. Have you heard me talk about wet and forget?
Yes, I have.
Go buy a bottle of that, put it in a pump sprayer, spray the north side of that house, and if you want to sneak up on your neighbors and do the same thing, you could be like the secret mold and mildew solver for the neighborhood. And within about 30 days, in particular with all this rain and the wind we've had, it reacts with the weather and will take care of that problem. No questions asked. It'll be gone.
And I can get that at Ace? Or?
You absolutely can get it at Ace. It comes in a quart and comes in a gallon jug, and it works great. You'll absolutely love it, and it will make a difference. Thanks, Mike. One more call before we have to take a break. Here's Jim in Schaumburg. Hey, Jim, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Lou.
How can I help you, sir?
Well, I've got my lint trap on the back of my house. It's right next to my air conditioner. And it seems like there's a fair amount of lint that still gets through to the outside. I was wondering how I can minimize that. I clean my trap every time I dry my clothes.
When's the last time you cleaned the dryer vent?
It's probably been about 6 months ago, I'd say.
How about the pipe that leads from the dryer to the vent cap itself?
When I've changed that or when I've cleaned it out, it always seems to be pretty clean.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of buildup on the wall.
Okay. I mean, that kind of buildup with the, let me ask you this. How far is the dryer from where the vent sticks out of the house?
It's in my basement and the pipe goes straight up the back of the dryer and then turns out the back of the house, but it goes straight up and the rise is about maybe 5 feet.
Okay. And so goes up 5 feet, takes a little turn. So it's less than 10 feet going out by the time it gets out of the house.
Yeah.
But it has two 90-degree elbows?
Yes, one at the bottom and one at the top.
Okay. I mean, more than likely you got a lint buildup there, and it just, you know, it rolls, especially because you have that straight-up vertical. You get some rolling of lint there, and then as it's coming out, to your point, it gets sucked up into the AC unit. Just a question of keeping it
cleaner more often. The other thing that you can try is this. The problem is the lint's coming out and it's getting sucked in by the AC unit. Is that right?
Yeah, well, it builds up on the side of, like, the condenser, the coils,
yep.
on the fins on the outside of the air conditioner, yeah.
Right. You familiar with what hardware cloth is?
No.
Hardware cloth is like a screen, so it would be similar to, like, an aluminum screen if you were doing, rescreening a window screen. But it's
okay.
it's a rigid material that if I handed it, you know, if I cut you a piece the size of a cookie sheet, okay, you could hold it and actually put something on top of it. It's that rigid. You can buy that. You can buy that at the hardware store. They typically sell it by the foot. Okay, what is the exterior of your home?
It's brick.
All right. So you're going to buy a piece of hardware cloth that's say 2 foot by 2 foot, and you're going to take that hardware cloth and on one side of it you're going to bend it. So it's like an L, a little bit of an L. And you'll have, when you do that, there'll be these holes in it. And you could take two screws, and on the side of your vent, you're going to screw this hardware cloth to the brick, and this is going to be like a wall, okay?
Right.
And it's going to stick out past your vent that as lint comes out of there, that little hardware cloth, it's not going to block any of the venting, but anything that comes out, and as the air conditioner starts to suck the, it creates a draft, essentially, it's going to come and hit that hardware cloth, and it's going to collect there.
Okay.
And then once hardware cloth from the hardware store, screw it, bend it, screw it onto the side of the house, you're good to go. 9:20 in the morning, 9:25 in the morning, 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Back to the phones, here's Sue in Deerfield. Hi, Sue, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Hi, Lou. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a fence, a beautiful cedar fence that we installed back in 03, and it still looks good, but it has a lot of that mildew or mold, or it's like, I've tried using my hose on it. I don't want to blast the wood apart. I don't know, since I have a lot of flowers near it,
yeah.
I want something that's safe and it's not going to hurt the flowers.
Okay, so I want you to wet down all those plants. It's whoever has the Wet and Forget account, Lindsay, tell them they need to get more money from the people at Wet and Forget. I want you to buy a gallon of Wet and Forget and put it in a pump sprayer and spray that fence.
Okay.
And in 30 days, you're going to see a huge improvement.
Okay. So
And then spray it again. But you need to pre-spray all those plants with water and try not to go crazy. I mean, as long as you dampen everything first, you'll be fine. But you just want to make sure you do that first.
Okay.
All right.
Sounds great. Thank you so much.
Get to work, Sue. You got a busy day ahead of you. Let's talk to Anna in Arlington Heights. Hi, Anna. You're on WGN. Good morning.
Hi, Lou. Thanks for taking my call. I have a problem with an air conditioning unit. Last year at this time, the capacitor motor went out, and they replaced it. And he said, gee, he says, this is a 220 line going to the air conditioning unit, but you've got 247 volts going to it from the house. So he's saying that that's why it's going out. And this year, same thing. And they're going to replace the part. They're going to honor the warranty on it. And so I'm trying to get ComEd out here, but I called him like 3-4 times since Thursday. They haven't been out here. And I'm afraid when they come out Monday to put the new part in, I shouldn't even be running it until the ComEd comes out, but I don't understand why there would be 247 volts coming into that unit.
Well, okay, so here's a kind of an interesting, side note. You know, people will say, the regular plugs that you plug, your toaster into whatever, they'll call that 110. And then the 220 is what they'll call the bigger plugs, like an AC runs off of or an electric dryer. But it's really 120 and 240. I mean, it's kind of a range. And so, if he put a meter on there and came up with 247, that's still okay.
but and it could be a meter issue too that someone else needs to check. Now, this was the HVAC person that checked this out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you tell me about. Do you have other large electric appliances?
Oh yeah.
What do you,
have? Like a refrigerator?
No, no, no. Do you have, what is your stove range? Is that gas?
It's a gas.
All
yeah.
gas.
Yeah.
And you have a gas dryer?
Yes.
Okay. It could be an issue with the breaker. It could be, what I would probably do is get an electrician first
mm-hmm.
to check that out from a voltage perspective, because I doubt that ComEd's not really going to help you with anything inside your house. Their responsibility is from the meter to the pole.
Right.
And so anything that's in your house, you're not having any other electrical issues in the house, right? The refrigerator's
no.
running.
No, and the breakers are not, nothing
right.
is tripping the,
right.
the fuses or anything.
Right. So, I mean, the thing is, you know, these electric meters that people use, while they're sophisticated pieces of equipment, that can fluctuate in the readings as well. What I would do is get an electrician out there to test out that for you and that make that investment to make sure, no, you're fine, Anna. You got 240 coming to this thing and it's fine.
So who do you recommend?
So I don't have a specific recommendation for you in Arlington Heights, but if you went to the NARI website, the National Association of the Remodeling Industry, NARI.org, you would be able to find an electrician there when you dump in your zip code. And then have them come out, do a quick inspection, test it all out. Then you know what you have and see if there's any kind of adjustment that they need to be made or if there's something with the breaker that's not operating correctly or the feed-in. They can test all that for you on your panel side, which is something that ComEd's not going to do. Thanks so much. We'll go to news in 2 minutes.
Text me maybe.
Time for Just Text Me on
the Mr. Fix-It Show.
That's right, 720 WGN.
Text me maybe.
Mallory tells me that in the new version of the Apple iPhone that's coming out, you know, whatever it is, Apple iPhone 8, that Siri is no longer going to sound so computerized. Like it's going to sound like a real person. Then you can have just, you can be like, oh, hello, Siri.
When is the 8 coming out?
I have no idea. You're going right into their whole thing, aren't you? Got to have the newest phone.
Well, because I feel like I always get, and that's the thing. My whatever is up.
The contract.
Yeah, I get to upgrade.
Well, yeah, that's their hook.
August, so yeah. I really want to wait.
Apple iPhone 8 comes out fall 2017.
I might have to wait.
Wow, this fall.
And supposedly, Domati Pongo is the voice of Siri.
Yes.
Domati, that could have been a good one for you.
That'd be great.
Right?
We need that. We got to switch
voice.
It up.
Right. Absolutely. Well,
Isn't there a
male
the
voice
up,
for
think.
Siri?
I don't think so.
I think you can change up the voices somehow. No, can't
this
you?
Oh,
no.
Is Siri.
Yeah, no, I think Mary Beth has like an Australian guy.
Come on.
Yeah.
I think so. I think you can choose different accents
I want
and
the
gender.
Country one.
I know you could change voices on GPS.
Yeah,
you're
going
to have a British guy turn left up on Wacker.
Hold on, here we go. Yeah, language. Siri's voice, American female, American accent, Australian British, male.
Do Australian for me.
Well, you want a man?
Sure.
Oh, hold on.
Lindsay wants an Australian man.
And then next, the Domati setting. Let's get that one going.
You can. It's so funny. It says right here, you can have an American, Australian, British, or Domati.
There it is.
That's what it says, Domati. It won't switch for some reason because I'm not connected to Wi-Fi.
But at what point is it going to get too conversational and weird? You know, like Siri already creeps me out from time to time.
Yeah. Well, my problem is I always have it in my pocket. And when I'm at home now because we have the Alexa, I'm always saying, hey, Siri. And I'm trying to talk to Alexa and I'm confusing my artificial intelligence all the time.
You know, it's too many names. She has too much personality for me. I'm like,
to Alexa and I've been confusing my artificial intelligence, but I could search the web for it.
That does not sound Australian to me.
No, I can't switch it, but she just heard me when I said that. When I said, hey, Siri, she said,
creepy.
Yeah.
Pretty soon, Lou, when you go to the fridge at like 11 o'clock at night, Siri's going to say, Lou, don't do it, Lou.
Right.
Don't do it, Lou.
Oh, yeah. Right.
You don't need that, Lou.
Well, they already have. I mean, they're, yeah, forget it. All
Are we going to do our Just Text Me segment where people text us?
Sure. I guess so.
You're more interested in switching the... Did you see how you can switch the voice?
To me. I don't even know how to talk to Siri.
You got
to
say, hey, Siri. See?
Hmm. Me?
That sounded a little Australian.
Yeah.
I need more from her.
Now they're all going off.
All right.
Everybody's
phone. Let's go back to Just Text Me.
All right, here we go.
Lou, how do I remove black lines from a wood entry door on the external side? The door was varnished years ago.
What you could probably do if it's a varnish is use Howard's Restore Finish in the neutral color and quadruple zero steel wool with the grain just to kind of refinish it and get those streaks off. Wipe it away with a rag and do the entire door. And if it looks really nice, like, oh, gosh, this looks really great. Take an oil-based spar varnish over the top of it and hit it with one coat of the spar varnish to just sort of seal it all in and protect it from the weather on the outside.
All right, Lou, my shower drain runs slow. What can I use to free it up?
The best slow drain opener is a product called InstaFlow, which comes in like a giant medicine bottle or vitamin bottle, rather. You pour all the chips over the top of the drain, and then you take boiling water. Make sure you don't breathe right over the top of it. Pour it over the top of the chips until it melts, till they melt, and then let them sizzle inside the drain. You'll hear it sizzling for about a minute, minute and a half, and then run more hot water to free it up, and it should work. That really does a terrific job. Did you say it was a shower or tub drain?
A shower.
Yeah. So it's probably all kinds of hair. It really does a nice job of dissolving all the hair in the drain.
Yummy.
Yeah.
Lou, I've been considering painting our natural maple kitchen cabinets. After we clean and lightly sand, should we pull the doors and spray them with a power painter and brush the faces and sides? Also a suggestion on good paint that will lay out nice and smooth.
I mean, if you really want to paint your cabinets, you certainly the sprayed look is what you're trying to go for, the kind of that auto body look. The power sprayers, the electric power sprayers, while they do a pretty good job, they're not terrific for this because the refinement of the paint that they spray is a little bit too heavy. I've talked about a paint that is a paint that hardly anybody knows about called Ace Cabinet and Trim Paint. And it's a self-leveling alkaloid-based paint that if you use with a brush, you'll be amazed at the finishes. Two coats of it. I would take the doors off. I'd work on those on a set of horses or something, and then paint, lightly sand everything down to take some of the finish off so that the paint can absorb into the wood, and then put a first coat on. You'll see it kind of streak a little bit, but then as it dries, it kind of lays out, and it's a self-leveling paint. Put the second coat on there, and you're going to be amazed at the results.
Are you okay?
I think my allergies in my eye.
Oh. I have some eye drops for you.
Oh, good. I might need to borrow them.
Lou, I have a front load LG washer. When the water comes out after the cycle, it smells like rotten eggs. What can I do?
There could be, well, say that again. When the water comes out, when?
I have a front load. When the water comes out after cycle.
Oh,
so after like the after the cleaning cycle.
It's weird. It probably has everything to do with, so in the front, do you have a front load? You have a front load,
we
right?
We do, and I have to say that sometimes ours does this too.
Yeah. So I can't understand why they can't figure out this problem. This is, the whole problem lies in front load washers with that rubber bladder that's in the front. So when you open up the door, what's that dog that people buy that has all the, like the rolls on it, like it's the skin is really
Shar-pay.
Is that a Shar-pay?
Mm-hmm.
That's what this is like. It's like a Shar-pay.
Okay, but I don't think that's what the question is. When the water, okay, don't look. That was, it's the meanest look.
What
I've
could
ever
I finish? My gosh.
All right.
Okay.
Gosh, you sound like my husband.
When the water goes around in the thing, There's mildew and mold that builds up inside that bladder that you're washing your clothes in.
Mm-hmm.
So that odor is coming from that bladder that's getting absorbed, that's then in the water, and the smell is coming from that and pumping out. What are you laughing at?
Just this whole dialogue between you and me.
Okay. So When you open up that door, like a Sharpay, you're going to peel away that layer, and you're going to see all this funk underneath there, okay? And you need to scrub and wash all that out because it builds up over time, and they need to solve this problem because this is an inherent problem with front-loading washers. And so one of the things you can do to clean it, and you need to get in there and scrub it with like a good scrub brush and like a Scotch-Brite pad or a scrubbing pad to really get it back to the rubber that there's nothing on top of it. And, you know what would be a great cleaner for that? Challenger, the Challenger cleaner that's been that you need to cut down probably 50-50. Scrub it, get all that stuff out of there. Then that odor should go away. Then the other thing that I would do is, because there could be inside some of these washers, there's a pan inside that collects the water that then gets pulled away. There could be some mildew and mold down in there. Here's what I would do there. Take, when it's empty, I want you to pour, where the laundry soap goes in, I want you to pour 2 cups of the Healthful Home mold cleaner that you're going to buy. 2 cups. And then run it on a quick cycle. And it's going to get in there and it's going to take all that away. They don't even know they're in this business.
Hmm.
Stick with me. Anything else?
Well, I always thought it had to do with the sewer, like, because ours is kind of attached to the sewer lot. Like,
that's where the drain goes.
Right.
You don't, but you.
I believe you.
No, I was at your house and you complained about that, and I put my nose by the drain. It doesn't smell because you have a trap.
Yeah.
If you put your nose by the drain, if you don't smell it there, then you know the trap is good. But there is an inherent design flaw in these front loaders that they need to solve. There, I've spoken.
Thank you. That's this week's.
You're welcome.
Just text me.
312-981-7200 is our phone number. We'll take a quick break and back to your phone calls right after this.
Sweet Sugar Handyman. Or as you might know him, Lou Manfredini on 720 WGN.
Back to the phone lines. Here's Judy in Westmont. Hi, Judy. You're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning. My question is, my bedroom is over my garage.
Okay.
I had to have a new window last summer. They closed it up. I believe there could be mold in there because water was coming in the garage by the garage door.
Wait, what do you mean they closed it up? What is that?
Well, they had a hole in the garage that you could look up. But, again, it was closed up. They didn't check for mold. I will be selling my home in the not-too-distant future.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think there could, I would assume there's mold there. The water was coming in the garage.
Okay, hold on. I'm not. I need to follow your story.
Okay.
So you had a window that was leaking.
Yes.
So, and that was leaking into the garage.
Yes.
And so then you had that, and the garage ceiling was opened.
A little bit.
To it see was, what was going on.
No, there was a hole that actually I'd put a broom handle through. And they just fixed that. They just
patched it.
Yeah.
Okay. And then, so there was a leak, and then we changed the window. We no longer have a leak anymore.
That is correct.
And we haven't had a leak for how long?
Well, a year.
Over a year.
But since I'll say July.
Okay. And when you look up in this garage when the door is closed, do you see any evidence of mildew or mold up there?
No.
Okay. And when you're in your bedroom, do you smell anything?
No, but I don't. Would I?
Well, I mean, you know, it could. I mean, here's the thing. The mildew and the mold, once it dries out, okay, if in fact you had it, once things dry out, if we've solved the problem of any water coming in, it'll die. It's not, you know, it's not going to keep growing.
Okay.
It will if it's a damp, moist area. But in this situation, I think that it's a fair conclusion to come to that, you know, they took the window out. It dried out while they were over this past year. And if women in particular have a much more sensitive nose than men. If you go over to the floor
Okay.
And get down on your hands and knees by that where the base trim is.
Okay.
And you start taking a big old sniff. If it smells like the rest of the house, don't worry about it.
Oh, good. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
You're welcome, Judy. I appreciate you calling this morning. It is 9:53 in the morning. Time for Lou's Last Call, sponsored by Townstone Financial. Anna is in Melrose Park. Hi, Anna. You're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning, Lou.
How can I help you?
Okay. I currently, we have a shed dormer on our house. We have an old brick bungalow, and I have a shed dormer. And the flat roof up there is about 50 years old. Over the years, I don't know if my father ever had it repaired or anything, but we've had it repaired. But I want to know about putting, could we put a pitched roof on top of the shed dormer? You know, just something with a little pitch in it so that it's not flat. And can that be done on top of the current flat roof?
Okay, so it's a dormer, right?
Yes, yes.
That's sticking out of the side of the house.
It looks like there's a box on top of the house. My father cut the roof and lifted it up, and it's like a box on top of the house.
Right. But in other words, is there a roof line that extends up from it?
Yes.
Okay. And if I were to put that pitched roof on like you want, a little gable end, would that be lower than the rest of the roof?
There is no part of the roof that is part of the flat roof. None of the regular house roof is not part of the shed dormer.
It's all by itself.
Yes.
Okay. To do it, you'd have to take that roof off.
Oh, that was part of my question.
You know,
okay.
I mean, you could probably, I mean. In other words, on the inside, when I'm inside this, what is it? Is it finished in drywall or what is it?
There's paneling. This was like in the late 60s he did it.
I mean, you could probably take the roof portion off. In other words, you could probably do it all from the outside where you wouldn't really disturb the inside that much. But in order to frame it properly and to put the roofing material on it properly, that's how you'd have to do it. You'd have to take that all off to frame it, that way you can put the shingles on it. You know, you'd have to put some siding on the gable end, of course, to make it look nice. And you know, it'd be a little bit involved, but you absolutely could do that. So thank you so much for the phone call. Thanks, Domati and Sam, for news and sports. Lindsay for producing. Ferguson for pushing the buttons. John Williams, you didn't come see us this morning.
I did, too.
Who? Did he come see you, Lindsay? No. She was waiting for the donut. I told the whole donut story.
Yeah, you know, did you really? That was nice of you. I missed that.
Yeah, well, evidently. John took us out to dinner last night.
Yeah, he did.
Mary Beth and I, we had a nice time.
You wonder why I'm out of money for donuts.
Hey, I have an idea for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I love the Little Mincing Rascals podcast. And you remember when you first started doing it, I said, how are we going to make this bigger than it needs to be? And then I came up with the idea. You know how you do the whole thing with the dead president?
That would be my interviews with Thomas Jefferson and Teddy Roosevelt.
And you have the Teddy Roosevelt one coming up, right? That people can go to WGNradio.com/events and buy tickets.
Thank you, Lou.
Because if they go to the Mac, they have to wait till noon. It's very complicated.
Yeah,
anyway, I think you should do with your Mincing Rascals a live studio audience where you and your group discuss your stuff and then get some audience participation. You could have it be Mincing Rascal Town Halls.
Right.
And you could do it in different spots. Like you could go to, I don't know, like a cool place in the city, and you get your Eric Zorn, you get your Steve Bertrand, you get your Kristen McQueary. Don't you also have Scott Stantis sometimes?
That's our dream team.
Right? And you. And you go, you guys come up with a list of current events. You have these discussions, and then you have microphones out in the audience, and people can do all this. It can be a whole Facebook Live thing, and I think it'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't like that idea.
My breathing, I think, just tells you how...
I'm telling you. All I want to do is help you be successful.
We have thought about that, and we've had meetings about that.
Really?
Here's my reservation about it.
Okay.
Would people show up?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because this is the kind of discussion and the
it's
kind
good.
The
it's
kinds
really
of things
good.
That you all talk about. You're a really nice group of well, you know, that Kristen McQuarrie, I like the balancing act, is she? Because she's far more conservative than the rest of you.
Yeah, Scott's a little on the right, but not as much as Zorn. Of course, nobody is. That would be impossible.
Right. But it's a really good balance. And I think that what is interesting, and you and I talked about this at dinner, right?
Yeah.
We talked about the fact that, you know, we all have these preconceived notions of, like, what everybody thinks the world should be like.
Yeah.
And then the only thing that is we're absolutely right about is we're constantly surprised.
Well, let me say this, Lou. That is absolutely something we've talked about, thought about, want to do, where we've actually had meetings about what would be a good venue, time and place, city or suburbs. We thought about doing it as a pre-roll, if you will, to one of our presidential conversations,
mm-hmm.
except that would make maybe the whole sit-down for that show too long.
But yes.
We definitely want to do that. That is definitely on the horizon.
Okay. So, I want to come.
Thank you. We're going to charge you, Lou.
I know you will.
Actually, for Lou, it'll be free. Everybody else, it'll probably be free for everybody else, too. Thank you, Mr. Manfredini.
Have a good show.